Status, page 75, section 7. But then it was the turn of the North Koreans, the Soviets, and much of the rest of the world to be surprised by the swiftness and decisiveness with which the United States came to the assistance of South Korea. To understand how these happened, one need only recall the Americans' memory of the Japanese takeover in Manchuria in 1931 and the 1938 Munich Conference. Had these outrages been resisted at the time, almost all Washington officials believed World War II would never have occurred. Only a full-fledged surprise attack like the one at Pearl Harbor could have convinced Truman and his advisors to reverse their carefully considered decision to disengage from the Asian mainland. Thanks to the ineptitude of Kim, Stalin, and Mao, that is exactly what took place. Had Kim simply infiltrated guerrillas into South Korea, as Ho Chi Minh would later do in South Vietnam, the American reaction would not have been nearly as dramatic. Had Kim contented himself with covert efforts to overthrow Rhee's government, it is not at all clear that the United States, which had little sympathy for so difficult an ally, would have done anything at all. But what actually occurred on June 25, 1950, was the first overt military assault across an internationally recognized boundary since the end of World War II. Given the risk of having it demonstrate again that aggression did pay off, given the extent to which the United States feared a collapse of psychological self-confidence among allies, if that should happen, given the Truman administration's sensitivity to the charge that it had done nothing to save Chiang Kai-shek's China, given Truman's own personal commitment to the United Nations and to the principle of collective security, given all of this, nothing could have been better calculated to provoke a sharp American response than what Kim Il-sung persuaded Stalin and Mao to let him do. Nor is it important to note, did the United States alone react in this way. The decision to resist North Korean invasion had strong initial support among many other states, several of whom sent their own troops to fight under the banner of the United Nations in the three-year war that followed. The World Organization was able to play this role because the Soviet Union, since January, had been boycotting the Security Council over its failure to seat the People's Republic of China. Gromyko claims to have pleaded unsuccessfully with Stalin to send the Soviet representative, Jacob Malik, back to veto the American-sponsored resolution to defend South Korea. But, on this occasion, Stalin guided for once by emotion and had not made the best decision. The Kremlin boss may have had a better reason for allowing the UN to proceed, however, than has previously been apparent. Shocked by the unexpected American response, and by the possibility that the fighting in Korea also might involve the Chinese, Stalin may have reasoned that the Americans would be less likely to declare war, thereby through the terms of the Sino-Soviet Treaty involving the Soviet Union as well, if military operations took place under United Nations auspices. The obligation to keep allies on board did in fact restrain the Americans at several points from escalating the conflict. So in this matter at least, the old dictator in Moscow may have been shrewder than several of his own advisors realized. There was such strong support in Washington for defending South Korea that some historians have found the conjunction of events too neat. The Truman administration, they have suggested, must have set the whole thing up. What has given rise to these suspicions is the fact that the National Security Council, during the spring of 1950, had undertaken a fundamental policy reassessment in the wake of the loss of China and the Soviet atomic bomb. In April, NSC 68 portrayed communism as a coordinated global movement, thereby abandoning the distinction between vital and peripheral interests that Kennan's containment strategy had emphasized. Its authors also called for tripling of the American defense budget for the purpose of frustrating what they repeatedly characterized as the Soviet design. President Truman, a determined fiscal conservative if there ever was one, had not accepted the recommendations of NSC 68 at the time the fighting in Korea broke out. But he soon changed his mind and approved the document, which became the basis for foreign and military policy throughout the remainder of administration. The dispatch of American troops to Korea, Acheson later acknowledged, removed the recommendations of NSC 68 from the realm of theory and made them immediate budget issues. But did anyone on the American side plan such an outcome? Were the North Koreans, the Soviets, and the Chinese somehow maneuvered into attacking South Korea, thereby providing the necessary excuse for a rearmament of American officials had already decided upon?